So you should all have a nice folder which you can keep for yourself as a freebie. You can put your name on it so nobody steals it. And it's your very own folder. And for if you're married, somebody that is part of this team that can't be here, please take them a special folder as well. Is that okay? So we want to make sure that everybody has a folder and should be at the front. The timetable today, but other people will explain that in a minute. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for being here tonight. This is new for us. This is a new venture for us as a church. As the leadership here, we've been praying into where we need to go over the next few years. And hopefully you will help shape that and help be part of what we do. We're very blessed. I think if every one of the leadership team was here, John can't be here today, I'm afraid. He's had to go to his daughters. But if every one of them were here, they would say that we are really blessed to have you as people that lead in your own right. And you're here because we recognise that you're serving Oasis in a particular way anyway. So as the church grows, we need to be able to facilitate the growth. We need to be able to help the growth. We need to be able to cater for growth. And obviously that will be through resources and people. We need to help people lead the ministry here. And we believe that this year we need to focus, and this is what part of this is, in supporting people, in training people, in releasing people, encouraging people, in mentoring people, so that they can be the best that they can be over the next few years. And so if you are to see this, you can see that the aim of leaders is developing a family of leaders with a heart to serve. And those words of a family, being a church family, are really important for us for the future. We want to make this a church family as it grows and continue to make it a church family. But we also want leaders with a heart to serve that will model servanthood. So thank you for being here to help us do that. We want to encourage two-way communication. So for the church leadership to be able to listen, so you can talk and bring us feedback, bring us constructive feedback. And to use this time to roll out strategy together. So your input is absolutely essential. It's not just important. It's not just a good thing. It's actually essential to us that we become a team where we work together. So I'd like to pray for us now, if that's okay. And we're going to just ask God just to bless all that we turn our hands to. And all that we do this evening and in the months and years to come. Father, at the start of this decade, 2020, we come and we don't know what the future holds, but we know you hold the future for us. And we ask, Father, today that as we start this year, that you will do something amazing amongst us, that you will pour out your spirit in a very precious way, but you will raise up people that will be great leaders, leaders of leaders, just not leaders of people. Father, we submit ourselves to you. We commit our way to you. We ask you to help us as we try and do that in our strength and do all that we can and for Lord you to do the rest. So thank you, Lord, for everyone in this room and those that can't be here today. We pray a blessing upon those that can't be here for whatever reason. And we just say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity. Amen.
Brilliant. So if you guys don't know why you're here today, that is okay. We are all working through that together anyway. If you'd like to turn to the beginnings of your folder, you'll see a little schedule in there. So I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen today, and then we're going to crack on. So you just had refreshments, and obviously when you guys come in through the doors in the next few in months, make sure you bring drinks to your tables because you might need it. So for this first session, we're going to be talking a little bit about what it means to be a leader. So we're going to be talking through that together. We've got some teaching for you and some notes that you guys can go away with. And then we're going to break off into some worship. And we really want these nights to be a place where you guys are also receiving as leaders, because sometimes when you're in ministry, you're always giving out. You're always giving out your energy. And we really want you guys to make sure your batteries are recharged so that when you are giving in your ministry, you have something to give. Then we're going to have a very short break. And the second half of the program, the way it's going to work is a little bit like this. We're going to go after down into different groups. Each month it might be different groups that we have. But that purpose, it may go on for all the way till the end, 9:30. It may be shorter, but the purpose of it is that it gives time for teams to coordinate together. It also gives time for you guys to give us feedback about how things are working in the church, things that are going well, things that are not going quite so well as well. Does that make sense? So on top of that, we realize that sometimes as leaders, when we are giving out, we can become dry and stale. And it is so important for us to recharge our batteries that we want you guys, we want to give you guys resources to look at. You will all see on your tables a page, okay? There probably isn't enough for every one of you, but on there is just a link to, if you look up there, oasisredditch.church/2 or Team Oasis, okay? And you guys can see a list of leadership podcasts, books that you guys could have, and also a copy of the notes. So if you're the kind of person, maybe looking at the younger generation here, that don't always like pen and paper, the ones something on an iPad or on your phone, you can also download the notes for that as well. So without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Rachel, and she's going to take our first session today. Can we have a round of applause for Rachel?
Okay, so gosh, it feels like we've been planning this for months, because we have. And this is the first time we've done this, so please, you know, we're not quite sure of timings and things like that. As we go month by month, we'll adjust. But so we're just going to try and get through everything that we've planned for tonight before it's time to break. So Robin's already said why we're here tonight. And I just want to quickly remind you of our strategy, the streams, tribes and leaders, is a way of us being intentional about what we do. You know, often in life, if you're not intentional about something, if you could get up on the 1st of January and say, I'm going to lose some weight, but if you don't actually put steps in, it can just be an idea in your head and actually the weight stays where it is. But we want to be really intentional and say this is important. And so when we're talking about leadership and we need leaders, we want to say, right, let's put something in place that we can say we are intentionally doing this. We're intentionally training leaders. Because we have a mission. God has called us to this town of Redditch, to reach people, to grow the kingdom of God in the town. We want to see people come to faith. And a couple of generations ago, that would have been the pastor's job. The pastor did everything in the church. His wife did the Sunday school and the flowers, and that was it. If you were in church that long ago, you'll remember. But we've realized, I think, church, over the last couple of generations, that that just doesn't work, you know. And actually, our job as ministers is to release the body into ministry, and we believe in every member ministry. We're not a one-man band church. And Romans 12, verse 4 to 8 says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So Paul encourages us to go above and beyond. He's like, if you're being given the gift of giving, don't just give, but be generous. You know, if you're given the gift of leading, don't just lead, but do it really, really well, the best that you can. And so these evenings are about learning and equipping so we can all make our best contribution to see the mission that God has given us accomplished. And that's what we really want, isn't it? So some of this will be like, you know, you'll be like, well, I've been a leader for years. This is really basic. But remember, you know, we're all different ages. We're all different stages in our Christian journey and also in life. So sometimes you might think, oh, this is a bit, you know, simple for me, but for someone else it might be just right. And we want to kind of start from the beginning and go on a journey together this year. And hopefully during the course of the year there'll be something for everyone to take hold of. So the very first thing, we want to be interactive, so we want to ask you a few questions. So just have a little discussion around your table. It seems a really obvious thing, but what is a leader? When someone says they're a leader, what does that make you think? Have a little quick discussion and then we're going to run around with the mic and ask you. The answer is not someone who leads something. All right. Yeah, there are some spaces in your notes if you want to write, or there's plain paper on the table if you want to collaborate a bit. Okay, that was the easy question. So for the sake of time, I hope you have some answers. So Josh, do you want to go around and ask what is a leader? Go around each table. Pick on someone, yeah.
They're in charge.
Someone who's in charge, right?
Let's go over here.
A person with a heart to teach and encourage others in their Christian life.
Okay, someone with a heart to teach and encourage others in their Christian faith, Christian life.
Someone who facilitates the movement of a group.
Someone who facilitates movement of a group. That's the clever table, isn't it, obviously? Using a word like facilitates that I can't spell.
Someone who sets the direction of travel.
Someone who sets direction of travel, yeah.
Giving direction, modelling Jesus's... modelling his example and showing how to be a good disciple.
Okay, I missed the first bit, but following Jesus' example, yeah?
Yep.
Obviously we're thinking Christian leadership.
Someone who has an identified goal, is experienced, a good leader should be a good follower.
Okay.
Good servant, encourager.
Good, lots of things there. Okay. So we all have our own ideas, don't we, of what a leader is. And I wonder who the first person that came to your mind was when we asked that question. But we just want to read some verses from 1 Samuel 9. And I'm going to miss out some of the weird words. But there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel. Verse 2. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. So sometimes we make judgments on appearance of a leader. Now, I don't think we'd fall these days into the trap of thinking, well, they look really nice, they look really good, and they're a foot taller than everyone else, they ought to be the leader. We wouldn't fall into that trap, but so often don't we see someone and we make a judgment about who they are. So sometimes it can be a look of someone we think, and you might think, well, I'm not a leader because I don't look like that. I can't be that person. In 1 Samuel 10:10, again, we're still talking about Saul. It said, when he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined them in prophesying. So Saul seems to be full of God, and he seems to be saying the right things. And again, we think a leader is going to be someone who is saying the right things. And in our context here, we would hope that they would be full of God. He seems to be that way. Then we have this little verse, 1 Samuel 13:11-14, when Samuel comes and meets Saul. And basically the background of this is that Jonathan, Saul's son, had attacked the Philistines and stirred them up. And Saul knew, therefore, that a bigger battle was coming. So he alerted Israel, and they retreated to Gilgal, which left them exposed. Samuel the priest should have offered the sacrifice, and Saul should have waited and trusted in the timing. But that doesn't happen. Saul offers the sacrifice himself. And when Samuel finds him, he says, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favour. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." So Saul looks like he's a good leader. It looks like he's full of God. It looks like he's saying the right things. It might even look like, hey, he's giving the sacrifice. but he was disobedient and he didn't trust God. So looks can be deceptive. And I'm not sure I'm going to actually read this whole story because of time, but it moves on the story, and God had said, Samuel said that he would have someone after his own heart, which of course we know was David, King David. And the story of King David, when Samuel comes to anoint David, he goes to his father, doesn't he? And he says, you know, line me up all your sons. And he lines all the sons up and starts with like the tallest, oldest, probably most handsome son. And they go all the way down the line. He's like, no, it's not him. Goes past all the ones that look like they're the right person. And eventually runs out of sons. And he's like, have you got any more? He said, well, David wasn't even there. He was like out in the fields. Go and get him. And when David appears, the youngest, seemingly the least experienced, the perhaps the least valued, he is the one who is anointed as eventually the new king. David wasn't perfect, we know that, but he is listed as being a man after God's own heart. When confronted with his mistakes, he repents later on in his life. So, another second question then. What sort of qualities would you expect in a godly leader? Have another little chat amongst yourselves. Should we get Josh to go around? Should we go around the other way this time or different way? Or start at the back? Start at the back. So what characteristics would you expect from a godly leader? Okay, Jane?
Hey, somebody who walks in God's ways, showing the fruits of the Spirit, humble, listens, serves, somebody who's decisive, who always seeks God first, listens to God, and also somebody who's not afraid to confront sin.
Ooh, not afraid to confront sin.
Someone who's humble, prayerful, model servanthood, patience, obedient, obviously displays the fruit of the Spirit, someone who's teachable and admits the wrong and a good listener.
Well, do you think a leader needs to be perfect then? Because I'm feeling like the the bar is getting raised higher and higher. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, listen to this table then. Go on, Simon.
Someone who's not afraid to do the right thing, no matter what it is, and teach others to do that.
Yeah, that's good.
Simon's got that one nailed already.
I think so. I think
bars
so.
Up there.
Yeah.
Being able to repent and forgive as well.
Yeah.
I think we agree with most of, well, all of those actually. slight correction. honesty, loyalty, integrity, pure in heart.
Yeah.
You got any more?
Just being. Not afraid to share your faith at the right time, so in a timely
time. Okay, so it does feel, doesn't it, like let's all go home because the bar is up here and, are we ever going to make that? But I think we've got to remember what we said about David, that he was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect. You know, David actually ended up being an adulterer and a murderer. You know, he was far from perfect. God isn't looking for perfection in leadership, he's looking for people who are after his heart. So it's not about thinking, well, yes, tick, I'm a godly leader, I do that. You know, it's about humility and it's about being willing to hold your hands up when you realise that you've done something wrong and admitting it and being the first to do that, being humble. You know, we've said all good answers, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. But we're all on a journey. You know, if we've all got to wait till we've all got all of that nailed down, then none of us would be here, would we? But we can be here because through God's grace, we can be on that journey towards those things. And we have to, I think, also in leadership, when we look at other people, avoid comparing ourselves to others. I think that is very easy to do, and that you look at someone else and you think, oh yeah, but what they're like. And you either do that in a, oh gosh, I'll never ever be as good as them, or you might go, oh, well, you know, but both of those is wrong. We mustn't compare ourselves. God has uniquely gifted each one of us, and we're all really important. That's what the verses in Romans said. And he also doesn't expect the moment you become a leader, maybe as a teenager, for you to have the wisdom of someone who's been a leader you know, and they're now 65 or something. God, we were on this journey together and we want to help one another to grow. So, before we go on to the next question, can you all shut your folders, please? Or put your notes away, or... So if you want to write anything down for the next little discussion, you need to grab the blank piece of paper that you should have on your paper on there, because I'll definitely... There you go. Okay, so we talked about what is a leader, what are the qualities of a godly leader, but what then is leadership? What actually is... It's one of those words we trot out, but what does it actually mean? What is leadership? Without looking in your folders. Discuss. I'll discuss that for a couple of minutes. What is leadership? Okay. You all got a good answer? We'll go around every... We've got time, I think. Yeah. Perhaps start on the back over there. Start in the middle this time. So what is leadership then?
Well, he's written more than everyone else. So.
Okay, is it JJ?
To be able to influence others.
Being able to influence others, okay.
So putting into practice what the leadership has decided and come about, facilitating, motivating.
Okay, facilitating and motivating, yeah. Why not? Anne's still writing the answers, but, you know. Oh, no. Write it down.
You write a book.
It's having the lifestyle, your lifestyle, which people see in you, which they want to follow.
Nice, yeah. Being something that's... Being someone that others want to follow. That's good.
I think it's using your skill sets to influence other people's behaviours, whether that's what they do or how they do it.
Bringing people together for a common purpose.
Yep, bringing people together, yep.
If you step out, will anybody follow you? And if they do, will that be because you've got the relationship and you've built up trust and integrity and they want to follow you?
Yeah. Okay. Good answers. I thought that is quite a hard question, actually, isn't it? A word that you use nearly every day, probably in some context, and you have to describe it, and you're like, oh. But actually, some of the material that we're using over the next, certainly the next 2 or 3 months, is by a leadership teacher called John Maxwell. And he actually sums up leadership pretty much the same way as Josh Johnson did. I don't know if you'd already read it or whether this was just pearls of wisdom. But he says basically leadership is influence. And that is really what everyone has said in lots of different ways. You know, if you can influence people, and that can be in a bad way or a good way, then that is leadership. It might not necessarily be good leadership. In one sense, and please don't tweet this or recall this out of context, but in one sense, Adolf Hitler was a reasonably good leader because he got lots of people to follow him. He influenced lots of people. He wasn't a good leader in that sense, which is why I said, please don't cut this out and tweet it or anything like that. He wasn't a good leader, but he had the ability to influence people. And so leadership can be good and it can be bad as well. And obviously we have to be careful about that. But someone said, if you think you're a leader but no one is following you, you're just going for a walk. And that's true. Somebody said that. I think it was Rose. You need to have people following you, otherwise you're not a leader. Not everyone has the spiritual gift of leadership, but everybody influences somebody. And one of the things we really wanted to start with tonight at the beginning of these sessions is to encourage you and get you to see yourself as someone who influences people and someone who is a leader. Because some people will turn around and go, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. That's not me. I don't fit into that bracket, that category. And sometimes that's because you've got this idea of what a leader looks like or what a leader speaks like. and you think, well, that's not me, therefore I'm not a leader. But actually, we've invited you guys here today because we believe that every one of you is an influencer at Oasis Christian Centre. And in that sense, therefore, you are a leader. And that's why you've been invited. You may not be on the stage to do it. There's lots of different ways in which you might be an influencer of people. You might lead people. You might have like a team that you lead here at the church. You might be part of a leadership team. But there's lots of different ways in which we influence people, even just in the way we behave during worship, or the fact that we'll go and seek somebody out who's new and chat to them in the coffee area afterwards. You know, that's all about influencing people, encouraging people, and that is leadership. So we want to try and start ground level by broadening perhaps some of your horizons to see that actually I do fit into that. Or maybe I could see myself fitting into that. Or maybe that does seem beyond my comfort zone, but maybe I could get out of my comfort zone and see myself in that way. Because we have seen some of that in all of you to invite you here tonight. So that's important. So another little discussion question. We've got about 5 more minutes. So there was some more Bible reading, but you've got it all in the notes. And I'm not going to read all of that out. I wonder, did you consider before the connection being a leader and being an influencer? How do you feel about being an influencer? Why do you think it's important to have good leaders and influencers at Oasis? Maybe that's something that you can just sort of mull over yourself rather than perhaps pass the mic around. You know, there are lots of different types or styles of leader. Just because you don't stand on the stage or speak, you might be an introvert rather than an extrovert, and you might think, well, to be a leader, you have to be an extrovert. No, not necessarily. As I said at the beginning, you know, this is about body ministry. We are all unique. We are all different. And we had a look on the web, and we found a few tools that you can use to actually look at and answer some questions and think, what kind of leader am I? Now, there's one that we've particularly included in the notes. There's a QR code, which if you scan it with your phone, will take you to the website, or the link is also on there if you can use that. If you want to do it and you haven't got access to the internet, come and let me know and I can print one off for you. Now, this isn't a Christian calculator, right? So, but that's okay, because sometimes we can use tools from outside. And if you do it, it will give you sort of 2 or 3 areas where you're strongest in your leadership. And it describes 6 types of leader. And some of them sound a little bit harsh, but bear with. So there's a coercive leader, the authoritative leader, affiliate leader, democratic leader, pace-setting leader, and the coaching leader. And it will actually say, well, you've got 3 of those that are your kind of strengths, if you like, if you try it out. And it's quite useful to do, I think, because it may help you to start thinking, what might be holding me back? And that's what we're going to be looking at next week. You might think, well, the authoritative leader, that doesn't sound very nice. That sounds like my old school head teacher. Don't want to be like that. I want to be democratic. You know, I want to get everybody together. And that's great. You are who you were created to be. Actually, none of these are bad or good. It's the way we use them, and it's ourselves that make them bad or good. And actually, you might say, well, it's better to be democratic than being authoritarian. But, you know, if you're on the Titanic and you've hit the iceberg and the lifeboats are just being piled out, you don't want someone to say, right, let's get a committee together and let's have a vote on it and let's work it. You want someone to say, women and children over there, women and children over there, there's the lifeboat, get in it. You know, you want in that moment an authoritative leader who says, that's what you need to do, go and do it, you know. So these aren't about bad and good. There's a mixture, and it's about the humility and the way that you lead. But it might help to do that because it helps you to start to get to know yourself. And you might, when you do it, think, actually, yeah, I recognise that is the way that I handle things. It's not good or bad. But it is helpful sometimes. It's just a tool. You might do it and go, that doesn't sound like me at all. That's fine too. But if you get a chance over the next month before we meet again, just have a go at that little exercise and write it down in your notes. And perhaps next time we'll have a look and see what people come out with, and it should just be interesting to find out. And actually, also, when you study the Word and you look at some of the leaders in the Bible, look at some of the things they're doing and think, well, what kind of leader are they being in that moment? What are they using in that moment? That can be ways sometimes we can use these tools and look at the Word and sort of match the things together. So, we said we'd finish this section at 20 past, which I make about 2 minutes to go before we have a little bit of a worship and a prayer. Has anybody got any questions on that at all? On anything in the last 40 minutes? No? So next time we meet, this session, we'll be talking about what kind of things hold us back. You know, some we can put a lid on our leadership. Remember at the start when I said a couple of generations ago in churches, the pastor did everything apart from the Sunday school, which his wife did. And what that did was it put a lid really on the potential of the churches, because they could only manage what the pastor could physically manage. You know, and these days we've realised actually we can lift that lid by inviting and doing what is actually biblical and releasing leadership right throughout the body, and that's what we want to do. But there's often things that hold us back. We've all got things that hold us back. That's what we're going to be looking at in the next month. And then probably the month after that, we're starting to look at how that works out actually here at Oasis. Okay.